going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Thank you so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend, action-packed weekend over here. I know you too. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Oh, good. Yeah, man, it was action-packed weekend as far as trying to get all the sports in and family time in and friends time in. So, yeah, it was all around. Great weekend. Sure needed yesterday to rest and recuperate.
Yeah, relax a little bit.
Yeah, rest and recuperate because, I already knew it, Andy, but I felt it yesterday. I'm old, man. Mm. I can't do it like I used to, brother. I was exhausted.
Well, you were the host with the most on Saturday.
Exhausted.
You put on a hell of a party on Saturday afternoon / evening, and knowing you, I mean, we took off around 7 o'clock. Yeah. I know you were there till the sun came up, probably.
It was damn near felt like it. So, yeah, it was a long. So, yes, I needed yesterday to recoup, but I did, and I'm feeling real refined and fresh this morning, Andy Bunker. So, yeah.
Yeah, you look fresh.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah,
fresh
got,
as a daisy.
Got my Liverpool shirt on because of, you know,
champions.
Yeah, they're the everything champions. Like that. But, yeah, it was a great weekend. Obviously, the NFL draft took up most of it. It was some good basketball games yesterday, especially the late games.
There was some good games on Saturday, games. Too. Yeah, no, you're right, man. Like, I know we'll spend some time talking about it as the show goes on, but the playoffs are just so much. Obviously, everybody knows.
Why are they so good this year?
They're just so good. Like, it's just so much better. The matchups are good. The superstars are superstarring. Like, everybody is just really, really showing up. Like, Anthony Edwards, to the surprise of no one except for maybe some Lakers fans, just looks like
he's a dude.
He's just a star. He's just so good. They went JJ went Tibbs in the second half and kept his lineup in the whole time, all 24 minutes, and they gassed out by the end of it. And anyway, the NFL draft was awesome. I think by all accounts, the Falcons had a really nice showing.
I think we
obviously spent Friday talking about what they did in the first round by getting Jalen Walker and James Pierce. Had a conversation with Terry Fontenot in the 1 o'clock hour, and then they stayed defense. On Friday, they go Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame.
Love it.
And then the first pick on Saturday was Billy Bowman Jr., defensive back. Not really a safety kind of nickel hybrid. I know Ulbrich talked about they're probably going to use him more nickel. And then they get an offensive lineman in the seventh round. But, yeah, I mean, their focus was on defense throughout the process. It wasn't a smokescreen. Mm-hmm. And they drafted four straight defensive guys to start the draft.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the two first-round picks. But, I mean, I love – Xavier Watts is a damn good football player. Andy, I mean, he's a guy, he has a nose for the football, always around, not afraid to come up and tackle, leadership qualities off the roof. He was one of the defensive captains up there in Notre Dame. So, yeah, he's a heck of a football player to go with Billy Bowman, who, like you said, he's going to be like at Georgia, we would call him a star position, something like that. So he's a jack of all that could do a lot of things.
And he's a ball hawk, too.
And then, obviously, you got the big tackle in Jack Nelson to round out your draft. I was looking at free agents on here and everything like that. So, you know, it's always going to be one. Don't know which one it's going to be, but it's usually one. I like Kobe Bryant. But I think that when you look at where this team is, they said it. They let us know where their priority was this draft, this offseason. It was to get better, get younger, get faster, get more athletic on defense. And they did that with, especially with their first four picks.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could.
I wish they could squeeze the D tackle in there, though.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice if they had a couple more picks.
Yeah.
You know,
get a D tackle in there.
Well, then obviously they moved up to get James Pierce in the first round as well, so didn't have a second rounder, but got a third rounder in the process. This was all the picks they were going to have anyway.
Right.
Maybe it was going to be 2 7ths, but there wasn't going to be a lot of picks in the early rounds anyway. So it just kind of broke down a little differently than we thought it would with the trades that they made. But, yeah, look, I mean, and now maybe you'll find a little bit of money in the summer with some potential roster moves going forward to get a D-tackle who's a veteran. Maybe you keep the D-tackle that's here in David Onyemata, because I know he's been a big conversation piece about potentially freeing up some money, but if you're going to free up money to get a D-tackle, he is a D-tackle.
Correct.
You know, so maybe you just keep him. I don't know. I don't know what they do. But
it still seems like they're going to keep him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of
yeah. I mean, it's hard to move on from him and Grady both in the same offseason. I was thinking about Grady just a little bit on Friday and throughout the weekend, too. It's like, man, all these years with Grady, and they never did that.
Nope.
And then they finally did it, like, the month after Grady left.
Yes.
It's like Jalen Walker and James Pierce would have been two of the five best defensive linemen that Grady played with his entire career here.
That's like, Ross' first trip to Tampa. You remember his job in Tampa after he left? Then they went out and started spending money. Wouldn't get no people for him.
Yeah.
But as soon as Ross was released, they went out and spent all that money that next offseason. But, yeah, I mean, it's Brady's still in a really good situation right there. But, I mean, the thing with the defense, and it's something we talked about on Friday, is that they're going to be young. They're going to be really young. Who's going to be? I mean, obviously you have Jesse Bates back there, yeah, and guys like that. But, yeah, this is going to be a young defense that, you know, it's going to –
another reason to keep on Yamada,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, because if you get rid of him, just the fact that there's no experience on that defensive line as far as interior defense, like the D-tackles and things like that, if you relate to a veteran like that. And, you know, unless there's somebody out there that that is released from another team, because that's usually when you do a lot of shopping, especially in that interior defense lineman during and after training camp, because you want to get some veterans in there also to go with these young guys. So, you know, the guy who might be your fourth defensive tackle might be on somebody else's team right now. Mm-hmm. So you just never know. So you got to always keep your options open. But the main thing right now is to get these young players up to speed now. Get them in your program. I mean, I know this is the second week of the program. I don't know how they do theirs if the rookies come in with the veterans and everything like that. But, yeah, it's time to get in there, get the playbook, and hit the ground growing, because in all actuality, you got drafted three starters at least.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, three starters at least. Yeah. And then a lot of guys.
And who knows with Billy Bowman,
and
too.
Who knows with that right there. So you're going to have to figure out a way to keep these guys on the field and get them. Because one thing we talked about is with rookies is you don't want to overwhelm them. You give them as much as they can handle, but you don't want to give it all to them. And they know this. And so it's going to be a process. It's going to be a fun process because these are some damn good football players, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it is, like, they're good.
Yeah, they're good in a way that it's really fun for a couple different reasons. Like, one of them is you know them. You've watched them.
Yep.
You watched Jalen Walker play every game he played in college. You, obviously, me, obviously, but a lot of people out there right now, too, because they're Georgia fans and right. Falcons fans. So you're already familiar with the guy. You're going to be rooting for him anyway. Now he's on your favorite team in the NFL. You probably saw James Pierce play because mm-hmm. he played in the SEC. And
yes.
He played in a program that, I mean, we're talking, there's Tennessee fans that are listening to us. You know
yes.
what I mean? Not that there's anything wrong with taking guys from smaller schools or from West Coast schools or anything like that, but, like, these guys are from schools that you're familiar with that play either for your favorite team in college or against it, and
yes.
you see them all the time.
Yes.
Notre Dame is the same thing. Like, there's people that are familiar with these guys, so you're already going to kind of know them a little bit, and also they're just athletic freaks.
Yes.
They're just like, it's going to be just so fun to see what they can do. Jeff Ulbricht also confirmed that, yeah, we're going to focus on putting Jalen Walker on the edge.
Yes.
As he grows as a player, maybe we can use some of that versatility that he has down the road.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get to the quarterback.
Exactly.
We're going to put him on the edge and let him get to the quarterback,
yeah.
which I love to hear.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing about it. Let him do something that is naturally to you, meaning you see the guy that is taking the snap? Go tackle him.
Yeah, go tackle him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to overwhelm
him.
Yeah,
go tackle him.
You don't want to be too complicated.
We don't want you dropping in the flats and nothing like that. Go get the quarterback.
Yeah, and so I love it for two reasons. A, because, yeah, that's what he's best at and let him focus on that when he's young. B, that also means to me that the defensive coordinator is not like trying to be too cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, we're going to, it's positionless. You know, mm-hmm. No, no, no. It isn't.
Oh my God.
We're going to put him on the edge.
It's not in the position.
No, let's not. Yeah. Let's not. We don't need to be cute.
Yeah.
Don't be cute. Let guys do what they're best
he's
at.
He's an outside edge rusher. Go rush him.
Yeah, let him do
that. Yes. Don't be up there talking about
him. He's multiple. No, I don't know. Just let him go sack the quarterback.
But that's what I'm saying. So now you're looking at this rotation with your first four guys, and you can rotate them in and out. You got Arnold KB, obviously, and Leonard Floyd. Then you got these two young cats. I'm leaving somebody out.
But Trice. Braylon Trice.
Yeah, Braylon Trice is
in
there.
Who's also a young guy.
I mean, you got a good, solid outside rush, but only one of those guys, well, two of them have done it at this level.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the biggest thing is them coming along with those guys like that. And we talk, you know, we always have fun with the old Dan Quinn cliches, but it's true, iron sharpens iron. And you got these young bulls coming in here, you know, and you're looking at it from a standpoint, you're Arnold Katie. This is a contract if you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look at Leonard Floyd. Hey, I'm still, you know, a productive player at this
Traver
stage.
Travel the world
career.
And get sacks.
You know what I mean?
That's what Leonard Floyd told us.
Look at Braylon Twice. Oh, man. They brought two more guys that are, you know, I don't know. He got hurt in August, so he should be going around.
He should be ready to rock.
He should be ready to rock. Yeah. And so you look at it like that.
But
so.
He's already got a year in the system.
But it's a new system, kind
of. Right, but what I meant was that's true. That could be an advantage. But he's got a year on the behind him. Like, he didn't play, but it comes off the contract. You know what I mean? He only has three more years on this rookie deal. So, yeah, no, there's I would think, and we talked about this on Friday, being up there at Flowery Branch, kind of walking into the facility, seeing all of the veterans on the field conditioning, doing their offseason conditioning program, knowing full well some of those guys out there are edge rushers for the Atlanta Falcons, having seen what they did the night before, maybe putting a little bit of urgency on the position in general. That's, you know, that's what you want to. You want good players, and that's what they got on Thursday. But you also like the idea of what good players can do for other guys, too.
Elevation.
The competition, elevation. And like you mentioned. Now, even in a weekend that feels like it probably was universally good, right? Like, we feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get out of it clean.
Can't.
Not if you're the Falcons.
Just can't.
Can't get out of it clean if you're the
just
now.
Can't. Andy.
This is not – the Falcons didn't do anything Andy. As an organization in this case. But they're still – it still says right – the second headline on ESPN.com right now is son of Falcons coordinator behind Sanders prank. So even in a great weekend for the Falcons, there's still some – still some Falcons in the mud.
I caught the last end of Stakey and DB. They said that he did another player too. Said that he was thinking that he's responsible for Warren.
Good.
But yeah, no. When I saw this yesterday afternoon, and I was like, perfect. Perfect, 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 perfect.
Now, it couldn't just be an awesome weekend for the Falcons.
It could be an awesome weekend and everything. And then it goes into all other just – It's so simple, but I saw all these long-ass explanations and everything. He's a dumbass.
He's a dumbass, and he did a dumbass thing.
Yes, he's a dumbass, and he embarrassed his damn family.
Yeah, he did.
All right? I do not think that Coach Olbrich should be punished for having a dumbass son.
I don't think Olbrich did anything wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong. Now,
Jeff Olbrich. Jax did.
Yeah, but that's that damn J-A-X.
That's what you get.
About it.
If his name was Jack, he wouldn't have done that.
No, he did something. He did
name
something
Jax,
dumb.
What
and
get.
I know people say, well, it's just a prank. Just imagine if that's you.
Yeah,
during that time.
It's not just a prank.
It's really, really stupid.
It's really mean.
And he should
really,
be,
really
he
mean.
Should line up on Peachtree and let people rock by and kick him in the nuts.
Right, that's the thing. Is like there's not going to be any real punishment for the guy because it's not illegal to do what he did.
No.
And he doesn't work for the NFL.
No,
he's not an employee, so he's not going to get fined or anything like that. It was just a really dumb, immature, mean-spirited thing to do.
Yes.
To a guy that's in the middle of a really difficult time.
Yes.
Like, you know, I don't think Shedeur Sanders had the most fun weekend ever. Now, he ultimately got drafted in the NFL, which is great, and I love the reaction when they showed it and all of that.
Yes.
And I know that process came with a lot of other think pieces and conversation as well, which, you know, we can do or not, whatever. But, like, it's just a really mean thing to do. It's just a mean-spirited, dumb, like... You know, no excuse. There's no, you know, it's not a mistake.
No.
It wasn't a mistake.
No. So I saw that.
He didn't make a mistake. You made a lot of decisions in the process to do that. It's not a mistake.
Did the statement say unintentionally?
He said he unintentionally recorded the number, which is just not true.
That's a lie.
It's a lie. Again, yeah, it's just a lie.
You have compounded and keep lying and putting on top of it. Just say I'm a dumbass and I did something very, very stupid and I embarrassed my damn family and put my dad. They're not going to fire him because of it, but they could.
Right.
You know what I mean? You put us in a situation because of stupidity. Did they record themselves?
Yeah, it was recorded.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an ultimate. He's a college kid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. I mean, I did dumb stuff in college, but I wasn't a mean-spirited dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Again,
but yeah,
it's different.
I just saw him. He needs to be held accountable. I'm like, okay. All right, whatever.
That's the problem is I don't know what you do. Like, I hope something happens to him.
Yeah, he needs to get kicked in the nuts.
Shador should be allowed to hit him in the face with a shovel.
No, with a football standing five yards apart.
Just a dart
right in the face.
Right in the face. Yes. Right in the nose. Something.
But Shador handled it perfectly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Handled it perfectly.
Everybody else has been fine.
Yes.
It was just the... This is Jax.
Yeah, this guy.
Again.
Yeah.
Just name him Jax.
It's embarrassed the hell out of your family.
If his name was Jack Ulbrich, he would have been, oh, Dad, iPad's on. Looks like it's low on battery. Let me plug it up for you. That's what a Jack does, okay? Not Jax. Jax is pranking people.
Yeah, man.
What a jerk. What a jerk. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. Sports Radio 92.9.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, draw deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeens strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The game.
Well, it's about who the players are, you know, and the run on the corners had already really happened. If you look, a lot of all those corners kind of came off the board.
An out cluster, you know, like
right.
The guys that we had slated at that spot. You know, there's still plenty of good players on the board, but in the cluster that we felt like we wanted to go dig into based on the collaboration across the building, the coaches' evaluations, our scouts' evaluations, our studies that we do together, the cluster that we had, that was our play that we wanted to go target.
That doesn't happen very often. Look at that. Fontenot kind of saying what he said, and then Raheem swooping to be like, let's make sure we're real polite to everybody else, too. Like, he was like, well, all the corners were off the board. Raheem was like, the ones that we had.
Right.
Not all of them were.
Yeah.
Because those guys later are good, too. But
yes.
We just, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I like that. I like Raheem having Terry's back there just to make sure they're not taking any accidental perceived slights at the late round corners.
They had a good day.
Get your guys back.
They had a good weekend. I believe they had.
I think they had
a good weekend.
We'll see over the next four to five years. But I think so. Yeah,
definitely. And you know, like you said earlier, because I was like, they would have got a due tackle. They didn't have a lot of picks to get all that. So they had a. They did draft the corner. Now, was he talking about a mainly outside guy? I don't know. But I think that, you know, the number one need for this football team, and we talked about it for decades, has been addressed by two guys. If we watch play, that I call them certified butt kickers.
Yep.
On Friday,
that's not what you called them.
Yeah, like I've said nuts like four or five times already. So I wanted to maybe save some cuss words for this. For the noon hour.
Fair enough. I just know, are we clean Monday?
No.
The first segment you used.
Fair enough. But but no, I mean, the biggest thing now is that you've got to get them ready because these ain't sit and wait picks.
That's right.
You know, these are let's go, we got to go get it. And very rarely, I mean, sometimes it happens when you're that guy and you see it, that guy from the rookie year, oh, he's going to be hell. This guy is like gold jacket. He stays healthy, worthy, and you can always tell early, especially with pass rushers, because it's just something about the fact that you still got to learn the art of the pass rush. But at the same time, when you're still learning and you can still sack the quarterback, that's just like, okay, we got to get him some stuff. But
is that the position that, I don't know, even really know how to ask this, and hopefully what I'm trying to ask will make sense. Like, because every position obviously is largely dependent on natural ability, right? You have to be naturally athletic and strong and big and all that kind of stuff. Is that the one that needs it the most, and then you build off of it with the technique? Or because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you come in as a rookie, and if you just have the physical speed and bend and whatever it takes to sort of be able to get into the backfield off the jump, and then you can add to it with the other stuff that it's going to take, the hands and all the different moves that you sort of build off of your athleticism. But like, is that the position where natural ability is the most premium?
Ooh, that's
maybe receiver.
Maybe receiver. I put receiver.
Corner.
It's a learning thing. Like, I played against Dwight Freedy as a rookie. He had all that.
Yeah.
He had the spin and all that other stuff. Like, he got me with it.
Right.
So, yeah, he had all. No, his game was like.
But he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
You know, so, I mean, those things. I played against Von Miller when he was a rookie. He had.
Again, first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, but just saying because they're not them early don't mean they can't turn into something. But, I mean, you can't coach God-given ability. You can't coach God natural that bend that they talk about when they have those little hoops out there they be going around. Like, you can't teach that.
Exactly.
That is something that God has given you that ability. All you can do is refine it now. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing for Albrick and wherever the D-line, outside linebacker coaches are for these guys.
Yeah, they brought in a new D-line coach, too.
Yeah, and it's to, you know.
That's a big part of it.
It's not try to mess with everything right now. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you could be sitting there trying to out-coach something that has made this kid successful because you want it done in the same way in your system. Let him play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always the one thing.
Nate Ollie is his name.
Okay. Did we talk to him? No, we talked to
him. We haven't talked to him because he's new.
Okay.
We haven't had a chance yet, but he was hired in January of this year.
There
but I mean, we will.
Yeah.
But there was just a lot of talk leading into the draft about how much influence he was having in the process as well. Like, I don't know what if it's Nate Ollie, if it's Jeff Ulbrich, if it's the fact that they haven't had a pass rush in decades, whatever. Like, whatever it took for them to realize this is what the draft needed to look like, I don't really care. I'm just glad that it did.
Right.
I'm glad that the draft looked like this.
Yeah.
This is what we were begging for years. And one of the main things coming out of the year was, until you take the defense as seriously as you take the offense, the defense is going to look like it has.
Right.
Well, they did.
Yep, they took
the first four picks, and they traded back into the first round to get a certified ass kicker on the edge.
Yes. Yeah, but as much as we wanted them to do that, like, still the most important thing about this team is number nine.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we love the draft and everything like that. Most important thing about the Falcons going forward is that guy.
I'm just glad that it feels like they've done a lot of stuff around him that in the past they didn't for when it was number two.
Well, I think a lot of times, man, when they want to, you know, when you got a quarterback like that, you want to give him as much help as possible. Yeah. That's why they gave up everything to get Julio Jones and everything like that for Matt Ryan and things like that. They still won't, but I mean, I think, you know, when you look at, you know, as we were talking throughout the draft, it looks like you're going to have the same starting five up in front of them.
Yeah.
It seems like the offense is pretty much going to come back the same, which is not a bad thing.
I think the offense was really good.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. You know, your young quarterback has to grow with these guys, but coming back, staying pat offensively, I don't think it's a bad thing.
If you take away
now the center position,
it's a question mark. It's going to be a huge question mark. But if you take away those five games in the middle that ended Kirk Cousins' starting tenure as the Falcons, the offense was good. Mm-hmm. Like, it was good until he got hurt, right, and then lied about it. And then it was pretty good when Penix came in, and it got better as the weeks went on. There's that little five-game gap where it was just horrifying because Kirk Cousins wasn't healthy and was, you know, throwing interceptions a million times. But other than that, like, the offense was solid.
Right.
Well, you put in a capable quarterback for 17 games now, should be good. But again, he's a rookie too.
Yeah,
like, that's the thing about Penix is he played three games. I know he was in the system for a year, so that's a bit of an advantage over just being an actual rookie, but there's going to be growing pains with him. I'm happy that, you know, A, he's going to be from now until then and season and getting ready for it. He's the guy, no question.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about that. And B, they're doing a lot of stuff on the other side of the ball to try to help the offense.
Yeah.
Because last year they didn't.
The defense
just wasn't good enough.
They didn't have the good enough personnel. But I mean, hopefully you're looking at it from a standpoint where you upgraded the safety position, upgraded pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a big if because we haven't seen it, but if Troy Anderson stays healthy,
yeah,
you got something because this dude can play. He just can't stay healthy when he's playing. But I mean, this dude can play. You got a steady guy in Caden Ellis. Everything looked like himself when they allowed him to rush a little bit more last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that the Falcons have to do, they got to affect the quarterback. I mean, stopping the run is very important, don't get me wrong, but they don't affect that guy too much. I don't care what era it's been. It's like who the quarterback was. They were always the get-right team. They were always the get-right defense where you're like, damn, that dude, he can play. And then they play the next week against a good defense. Like, oh, that's why he's a backup.
The laundry list of quarterbacks that had the best day of their career against these Falcons pass rushers over the last 7 years.
Yes.
Hopefully those days are coming to an end. And hopefully Jalen Walker and James Pierce are a big part of the reason why. All right, let's hear from Brian Snitker. Not a great Sunday, but a good weekend overall for the Braves out there in the desert.
No, we feel more like things are evening out now. I think planing out the whole league. I think we're over the beginning of the year and things are going to start settling in and being, you know, what we're used to here. But I like the way, you know, this last week that we've had a really good run. We've had a great stretch of coming back. We're right there today. I mean, had the go-ahead run at the plate. And, you know, so we're fighting our way back.
Good job.
Yeah,
good
look, job. I mean, you know, the opening road trip put you in a huge hole. We've talked a lot about it. But that's three straight series now. Mm-hmm. They've won 7 out of the last 10. The Diamondbacks are good, and they went out there and won a couple games now. Eugenio Suarez had a day on Saturday.
You give up 4 home runs to one guy?
I
was like, gave up 4 home runs to this guy.
When you bring in Iglesias, who's just been serving up home runs this year, maybe walk him. You know, maybe think about walking Suarez. The guy's parking bombs. He's got 3 home runs in a row. And Iglesias just comes in and throws him a meatball.
There you go.
Pow.
Pow.
Tie ball game. Let's go to some extra innings. Like,
but they won.
They won.
They won.
They won.
They won.
They won. But that dude in the closer role right now is a real issue.
I would never speak on him because I keep saying it. Everybody keeps,
But he wasn't an issue before. He really is.
I said on Thursday. Everyone's like, really? I was like, yeah, man.
Look at that bug.
Yeah, Iggy was pretty crisp.
That's nice right there.
That's a big ass bug.
What's them things? Sloths? Sloths?
I don't think it's a sloth.
Oh, what the hell are you doing? Is it a grasshopper?
I think it's a grasshopper.
Grasshopper on the ninth floor.
It's the big grasshopper.
Oh, okay.
Then hopped up.
There we go. But yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem.
It is. He's
and,
a problem.
That's why I asked the question last week about are they like praying that Kimbrel comes in? And
he's been good in the minors.
He's been good in the minors. He has bunked, but and then all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, damn. Oh, there's Ian Anderson. He's a Brave again.
He's a Brave again.
He's a damn Brave again.
He's a Brave again. Now, so, I don't know what the thought process
and
is there.
He's in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
right?
He's going to go.
He's
probably going to play.
Yeah, he's going to go.
Yeah.
One of these games. But, hey, the Colorado Rockies stink.
They are the worst team in Major League Baseball, and it's not close.
Yes.
Like, the White Sox are really bad.
Yes.
The Rockies are way worse than them. They're 4-23.
Yeah, man. Are they tanking? Who's the number one pick? Who's the number one pick in baseball? Is it the kid from Georgia?
Maybe.
No, he was last year.
No, it was last year. Condon. Yeah, I don't know. Probably some guy at LSU or Texas or something.
Who are they tanking for? They're awful.
Maybe they're tanking for Cooper Flagg. Maybe they're trying to get him in baseball. I don't know.
What's the name done anything out there? Bryant?
Who?
Didn't they sign Chris Bryant? Yeah, didn't they sign Chris Bryant?
A while ago.
Yeah, he's there.
What's crazy is
that Charlie Condon is actually in Colorado.
Oh, they have him?
Yeah.
But he's not up yet. They drafted him last year. He's not up yet. Yeah.
Now LSU has a guy that just hit a 460-foot bomb.
Here's the thing. If they sweep the Rockies, which they should, everybody does, they're back to 500.
Yeah.
They come back home to face the Dodgers this weekend back at 500, and it's kind of a clean slate after that terrible 0-7 road trip to start the season.
And what do we see from the Dodgers? They're not unbeatable.
No, they've actually been pretty average since that opening homestand. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs as the weekend was fantastic. Like, the superstars in the league are playing great. The series have been really fun. The one that was a sweep needed to be, and we're on to the next one there. But a fun weekend in the NBA. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Monday, almost noon. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes from right now. Back into everything that happened throughout the weekend in the 2025 NFL draft. The Falcons made 5 picks. Obviously, Friday, we were up there at Flowery Branch with a chance to react to the first two picks, the picks in the first round. Got a chance to hear the guys on with Dukes and Bell on Friday afternoon as well. Was driving around a little bit, running some errands, and that was really fun. It's just always fun to hear guys when they arrive at the facility. They've been drafted. Their dream has come true, and now they get to talk about it. And Jalen Walker was fired. I got to tell some fun stories about Georgia and all that, too. So if you missed those interviews, check them out. Go check out our interview with Terry Fontenot as well from Friday. Tried to learn as much as we could about the process and the guys they took and all of that, too. So I would encourage you to head over to the website or download the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and get all of the Andy and Randy podcast goodness sent straight to your phone every single day.
How do you become a limited partner of an organization? Because you're a soccer guy, Josie Altidore?
Yeah, Josie Altidore.
He is a limited partner of the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
How do you be a limited partner?
I think like a really small percentage of ownership.
I want to be.
And I think if there's a limited, it's like for a time.
Yeah, I know, but. Oh, okay. So maybe a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think they also, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but the limited partners tend to be like celebrities.
Right.
Or like people that are kind of big in the community, whatever. So they're kind of almost like ambassadors, too.
Because
I remember the Falcons announced
that. That's right.
There was a few folks that
that's
became
right.
limited
you're,
partners yes, last year.
Yes, you are.
I don't remember who they were, but they were about, but they were people you had heard
yeah,
of.
Yeah, but you're absolutely correct. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But people know you.
I mean, I don't want, like, I want to be.
You're a known.
I want to be an owner. Like, I was looking at you know how I watched those series on Netflix and everything like that, where they had one with horse racing.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about the Triple Crown. The guy from the Phillies didn't realize he was a damn owner. The one that had the long hair, Weiss? Oh, I forgot. It'll come to me. Witt or something. Anyway. But they were talking about, like, the guy, this dude, he was talking about, because I had a couple teammates that did this also, bought into a horse. And so, like, not knowing, being a younger when I was young then, I was like, well, did you buy the tail? Like, dead ass serious. He was like, yeah, I got a piece of a horse. And I was like,
what part?
What part? Tail? You know, this is me being young, not knowing.
What part would you want?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But, one part.
Yeah, I'm not going
to. If
go
it's
there.
A thoroughbred,
yeah.
You know?
But it was crazy.
You make money on stud fees.
Yeah, but that was the crazy thing about listening to them, like, divide the horse, but buying the percentages in the horse and how you go into doing all those different things. And they come to you, like, one horse could have, like, 5 people that own parts.
Oh, I'm sure.
And everything
yeah.
like that.
I'm sure.
So yeah.
It's like a team.
Yeah. But,
and if the horse does well, it is like a
team.
But
if you got like 5% in the horse, you're still an owner. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You're not limited.
And you also, like, I would think, and again, this is from a place of ignorance, but I just assume based on the way other ownership structures work, like, that's in perpetuity, right?
Yes.
So, like, when the horse is in its prime, you're trying to win
yes.
the Kentucky Derby or whatever other stuff you can win. But then after that, like, if the horse does good and it's got a good DNA.
Yeah.
That's where you make the real money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
5% of every time it goes out there in studs.
Unbelievable, dude. dude, just
having my horse.
Man, I'm talking
turned
about
turned out.
I'm talking about this dude would be the biggest hooker there is.
It would be
he would a gigolo.
Yeah, he would be a gigolo. He'd be the gigolo of horses.
I would name him that.
We would even name him gigolo.
Gigolo come around the corner and he's in the stretch. Gigolo is gigolo. I know. exactly what I call him. Damn gigolo, man. But no, I thought it was really. I was like, damn.
Gigolo's not a bad name for a horse.
It's not. I mean, there's some creative names out there, but calling a horse gigolo?
Yeah.
Well, he better have some, that pasture better be full. Because all I say, that horse pasture better be full. But no, we were talking about NBA, and I didn't see it until this morning. Damn, Dame Dollar, man. Dame just fought back from the daggone blood clutch to get back, and now they're thinking that he tore his Achilles last night.
Yeah, I mean, without knowing, you know.
Right.
Like, when you see it now, you see it. We've seen enough of them, and credit to him for being tough as hell for having it happen and then still knocking the ball to the guy in the corner. Did you see that? Like, most guys just go down when that happens.
And grab the bat.
Dame still had the wherewithal to finish the play. But, yeah, I mean, that's terrible. Obviously, he missed time at the end of the season with the deep vein thrombosis, the blood clots that he was dealing with, and then he comes back and – you know, first round of the playoffs, and they might have lost that series anyway.
Oh, it's over.
Like they weren't. Well, it's over now.
Yeah,
they might have lost it even with him. They weren't playing good. They don't know who they are. The Dame trade has not worked at all. They had to give up a ton to get him. They don't have their own draft pick for 5 years.
Yep. Like, it's gonna be some.
And now the question becomes, as it always does with superstars, especially superstars that have won, so he doesn't feel like beholden to anything. What does Giannis do?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, it always was Milwaukee, right? So that always was complicating. And there was always wonder as to whether or not he was going to be there long term just because it's the NBA. I mean, that ramps up big time now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm him, like, no offense, I don't want to, like, do this the day after because he's not going to do it yet. But if I'm him, I start thinking about it this summer for sure.
Oh, and it's a big summer. I think he's eligible for the extension this summer and everything like that. Yeah, I mean, and it's Milwaukee. Yeah.
Well, and he won one.
He won one already.
They got one. So now go
spread your wings, Giannis.
Yeah, go team up with somebody else.
But he just seems like it might be a Dame thing. He's just gonna stay.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But no,
no one did. But Dame left too. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Dame eventually. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Dame left eventually.
Yeah, it was one of the things. Like, damn, Dame, you gotta go.
Well, yeah, they were telling him he needed to leave for 5 years, and they finally did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens there. What I do know is they're gonna lose that series to the Pacers.
Yeah.
They were probably gonna lose it anyway, but they're definitely gonna lose it. Now the Pacers are playing pretty good, man. Like, since the All-Star break, the Pacers have been one of the, even as much as nobody gives them credit for defense, they've been a pretty decent defense too. So I don't know. Maybe they could give the Knicks some trouble in the second round. Is the Knicks probably going to beat the Pistons? Pistons putting up a good fight,
they
though.
They are. That's a foul.
It was.
They admitted it.
It was. You know, yeah, they admitted
it. But Cade could have had 2 one-on-ones point blank shots. Mm-hmm. He did. And for what we said about coming into this season after game one, damn, Towns has been balling.
He's played good.
And he's been playing tough.
He had that one game where he kind of disappeared.
Yeah, but he's been playing tough,
so he's probably due for another disappearing game.
Yeah, but I mean,
game five.
That shot he hit yesterday.
That was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's 30 feet out.
Yeah,
he's
man.
Got a guy on him. Like, that's what Karl Anthony Towns can do. He's the most confusing, like, really good player in the NBA. I mean, Brunson's been the reason.
His ankle comes back.
He looks like Jalen Brunson again. Which when he plays like that, you know, they can compete with anybody. Tim Hardaway Jr. got fouled in the corner. There's no doubt. They admitted it. I do think though, like, he looked a little bit like he was trying to draw it.
Yeah, like,
you know,
like,
what I
like
mean?
Leaning into it.
So I think that's why they didn't call it.
I don't think
because it looked like he was trying to initiate.
Do you think he had time to think that? I don't know. The way he flailed though
after, like, they hold it against you when you try to sell it and you're not a star.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why they didn't call it. I think if Tim Hardaway just kind of goes up and shoots it, he got fouled.
Yeah.
If he just goes up and shoots it, they might call it. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, if it was a different guy, they would have called it for a star.
Dude, they've been playing. They've been letting them play. They've been letting them be physical.
Yeah.
They have.
Except for, like, the stars. Like, LeBron shot a million free throws in that game. And, I mean, Brunson's shooting a million free throws.
He's the floppiest guy in the NBA.
But he doesn't get called out for it for whatever reason. I don't know why. No one gives him a hard time for it. Luka's the most whiny guy in the whole league. You know who whines a little bit and nobody talks about it because he kind of, like, maybe does it secret and just kind of never changes his demeanor is Jokic. That dude doesn't shut up.
Oh, really?
He's yelling at the ref the whole game.
Oh.
Now, whatever, everybody does it, so it's not like I'm holding it against him or anything, but like nobody talks about Jokic being a ref worker, he works the refs nonstop.
What a hell of a game that was. I mean, for them to – I mean, because the Clippers were storming back.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Jokic throws up one, and Aaron Gordon, and I'm thinking like, was that a pass?
He's so good that you have to think that,
you
right?
You know what I mean? Like, he just knew a pinpoint to the other side of the rim where Aaron Gordon was. It was alley-oop.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon out-jumped everybody.
Because it looked like a shot. But Jokic is so good, you have to wonder and give him the benefit of the doubt of being like, I don't know, maybe it was a pass.
Maybe it was a damn pass. I don't know. But that was a hell of a job by them. That's another great series. Houston tricked off their opportunity to stay in the series.
Yeah.
Without Jimmy B, you gotta win that game.
You can't lose the game that Jimmy Butler misses. And who knows how many games Jimmy Butler's gonna miss, honestly. I also think Houston's in an interesting spot where there was kind of some of that hype leading into the series because of that game they had against them earlier this month.
Right? 3 points.
Where Steph had 3 points and they put Amen Thompson on him and he kind of shut him down. I half wonder, because the way Steph played that game yesterday, I mean, that was surgical. I mean, it was just every little, because they didn't give him much space, but like every little bit of daylight he could find, he made a play out of it. I half wonder if that game they threw at him earlier this month kind of put stuff on tape to where Steph was like, this is how they're going to guard me in big moments. Mm-hmm. And now he knows. Yeah. And he was kind of able to take advantage of it. Because, I mean, he held him to 3 in April.
They did. They did.
We had 36 last night. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Because a lot of it coming in was like, I don't know, maybe it's a bad matchup for Steph.
Mm-mm.
Nah.
Nah.
No, it's not.
Nah.
It's not.
It is not.
It's also pretty cool that, like, and LeBron's doing it too, but they're getting the full dose of Anthony Edwards.
Oh, this dude.
But it's pretty cool that it's 2025 and Steph's still like solving great defenses and scoring 36 points in playoff games.
Just the shots that he's hitting, though, it's like, okay, well, that's just Steph Curry. Anybody else would have been a bad shot, but it's him, you know, and everything like that. But yeah, Ant-Man is, I mean, he is on a seek and destroy mission.
Mm-hmm.
Like this. And then the thing with how great he's playing, they're coming along with him, man. The guys that he needed to play well, because we knew he was going to play well. We didn't think he's going to play well. But the other guys that are coming with him, they are pressuring the hell out of Luka, like all the way up the court. LeBron can't, I mean, he played in the whole second half.
Yep.
He was really good in the first half, and he just ran out of gas. You think about it, they played Friday night, and then they come around, and they got to play on Sunday afternoon. Yep. Didn't have enough gas in him.
Well, they had a 10-point lead. The Lakers have a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter.
Have they blown a 4-quarter lead every game? Mm-hmm. It seems like, don't it?
And, you know, and Ant-Man said it afterwards, is they were gassed.
Yep. He said it.
They literally played the starting five every minute of the second half of that game because they have to, by the way. Their bench just isn't very good.
You don't trust them, one.
You don't trust them.
Yeah.
Because why would you? Like, JJ's having to cuss them out in game one and game two because they're just out of position on defense. And, like, so they're like, all right, we're riding with these guys. And, you know, Ant-Man and the Timberwolves tracked him down. Huge shots by Naz Reid in clutch time.
He was shooting in rhythm too.
He was. And look, man, like, this is why I know we went back to the trade in the offseason. I know Karl Anthony Towns is certainly a better player than the players that Timberwolves got back. I just like those guys. Like, Julius Randle's a tough dude.
Yes.
Like, he's not scared. Yes. He's not as good as Karl Anthony Towns, but he's not scared. Dante DiVincenzo's played in so many big games.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes the right play in clutch moments in those big games, and he had a couple of big ones last night, too. But look, when Anthony Edwards is playing like that, there's nothing to do.
No, because he's
that little thing he's doing? Like, is like a little, like almost like a Euro step sideways jumper in mid range.
And he is so good.
I've never seen anybody
do
that.
He's so good going left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just unbelievable how he just like slides through coverages, man. I mean, this dude, but we knew that. We knew he was going to play well. It's just everybody else is playing well. And, you know, and JJ just running out of options. Now, I think Lakers will win this game coming up, but I don't know if they're going to win three.
I don't think they can win three. No, I don't think they can win three.
I'm sorry.
They're you know, at the end of the day, it's a young man's game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as great as LeBron is, like, you can't play that amount of minutes this consistently when you're playing against a 25-year-old, whatever you want, thoroughbred, like Anthony Edwards is right now, man.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. This feels like his time. I also think he, very early in his career, has kind of figured out the Rubik's Cube of the NBA, which is like, I can go third gear most of the season, ramp it up maybe the final couple weeks, and then when the playoffs get here, then I'm in fifth. Like, I'm ready to go. He led the NBA in three-point shooting this year.
Yes.
A, because he could.
Right.
But B, also because it's like, well, you know, less injuries, less wear and tear, Don't have to go to the rim as much, get banged around less. Like, let me just hang out here and take nine threes a game.
Remember, we were
and it's
like,
perfect.
We were like, why'd they let him do that?
Yeah. But now, my question was, is he going to do that in the playoffs? And he's not.
No.
Like, he's back to sort of that full throttle player that he needs to be to dominate games. But yeah, like, he kind of coasts through the regular season and then gets to the playoffs and hits the pedal to the floor, and nobody can stop him. Like, he's genuinely, like, the last couple playoff runs, you include these games now, like, he's one of the three best guys in the world.
He's unbelievable.
he's unbelievable.
And he is, like, again, he is, I don't want to say he's dragging them because the guys are coming along with
him. No, they got good players.
They got some good players over
there. They're still a piece away, though. They kick the Conley's just a
old
problem.
Man. He's just old.
Yeah. They got to upgrade that spot.
Old and small, like a little chihuahua.
Yep.
Yeah, just
he's a great player, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, yeah.
But like, if they had 10 years ago Conley, they'd be great. But Conley's like 37, you know.
Like a little chihuahua. but pretty much all of them are done. The ones that, Josh said he was figuring them out. But Ja Morant got hurt, and now...
If it was best of nine.
Yeah, I figured it out.
Ja was going to get him if it was best of nine.
And the Heat are about to be put out to pasture.
Thank
and
God.
What's the other one?
I like that the series that needed to be sweeps were.
Yes.
Even though, like, Grizzlies put up a good fight in Game 3 and probably should have won that, and then the Thunder came back and got them.
I knew they were going to come back.
Get out of here. You guys, go figure you fired your coach. You go figure your offseason out. Same thing with the Heat. Back. Jimmy Butler demanded out. Like, you guys don't belong here. Get out of here. Go figure out your offseason. Come back next year and see if we can do a better job. That one, same thing with the Celtics and Magic. Like, credit to the Magic for putting up a fight. Dude, I feel like Paolo has validated any concern that anybody might have had. Like, Paolo's so good.
Who's concerned?
I don't know. People that don't watch the Magic play.
Right.
Like, Paolo's a... That guy's awesome. Now, they need some pieces around him, too. They need to build that roster out. But he's given the Celtics... headaches for four games. Now they're going to beat them in five. Gentlemen sweep. Get out of here. But a little
unless it's still go Celtics.
Yeah. They'll do what? They'll have one. Maybe they'll beat them in six. Yeah, they'll have one of those games. Same thing with the Rockets. Like, just a really well-built roster, but they're a piece away. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I was about to say. The name I was about to
you
say.
You put Kevin Durant on that roster.
It's a pretty good team.
I don't know. Yeah. Whatever you want. Except you can't have Amen Thompson.
No.
And you can't have Alperen Şengün.
Can you have
anybody
Dylan Brooks?
Else? Yeah, you can have Dylan Brooks for Kevin Durant. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.